Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, yo.
All right. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. I got my co-host here, Dr. Carl Nadolski Jr.
Hello.
And today we are going to be talking all about weight stigma.
Yeah, weight stigma and bias, I guess.
And bias.
Yeah.
It's a big issue right now. Well, it's always been a big, actually, it's been an issue for a long time. It's now getting more more coverage, I guess, and more people are starting to understand it a little bit more.
Well, also more in the media and social media portrays it in both, you know, all different ways that may or may not be good.
Yeah. So you pulled up the definition we were just talking before we got on here. What's the definition of stigma?
Just stigma in general. Stigma. According to the dictionary, a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance, quality, or person. For example, they have the stigma of having gone to prison will always be with me. And so, well, what is that? You know, there's a lot of stigma in medicine, actually. You know, people often feel stigma just from any type of disease, not just weight and obesity that we're going to talk about. In fact, speaking of this discussion, and this is before our time, but according to other physicians, our mentors before us, there was a stigma of cancer. People like felt, actually, I don't know, they're just kind of like that, a mark of disgrace or something. I think maybe, you know, once upon a time when cancers were not as treatable as they are now. That's what was kind of passed on to me, talking about weight stigma and how this is a little bit of a newer issue that's been brought to light. But I don't know that much about that, so hopefully people aren't saying I'm getting it wrong, but you know, something like that. That's the gist of it anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Diabetes, you know, even type one, you know, whenever somebody says diabetes online, the type ones want to make sure that you clarify either type one or type two,
because very different. And they both feel some stigma, interestingly, different ways.
Yeah. In different ways. Interesting stuff. So weight stigma, we want to talk about specifically. Yeah. I think it's interesting to talk about, you know, from our angles. We grew up in a very athletic family. And so, you know, I know when I was younger, it was like, you know, high school, college, trying to learn what's going on. It wasn't really until medical school and training, working with patients, to go like, oh yeah, there's more to this than just, you know, you know, we talked about obesity being a choice and like laziness and gluttony and that type of thing. It's like, oh, there's a real pathophysiology of obesity and why it's actually just
very it's interesting.
It goes more than
background in science and sports is what drove us into medicine, especially the endocrine and obesity specialties. And kind of ironically, I think, is that we absolutely had an ignorant, maybe, bias towards obesity when we were younger growing up. I mean, our dad was a biology teacher. We knew all about the basic physiology of it. And I think, we pretty much just thought, hey, if everyone works out and eats reasonably, everyone can be lean and mean. And it wasn't until we got even more interested in learning about this that, along with medicine, though, I think, you know, this is a relatively young science in the grand scheme of things. So, you know, that's maybe not too, maybe we weren't too far behind, but that's when we got into it. It was in residency and fellowship and when we really learned. And, and so, I mean, we try to learn as we go, and we certainly had to learn a lot about that, which is now our passion.
Yeah, I think, but, you know, talking with patients, though, I think was a big thing, too, like hearing their actual struggles and be like, so wait a second, like, you're really hungry and you're trying to do everything you
can. They're doing the best they can. They're working out all the time. Yeah, absolutely.
Struggling. It's like, okay. And then everybody says the same thing.
Yep.
They've done multiple diets in the past and they all say the same story in different types of patterns, of course. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, so what's weight stigma? We talked about the definition of stigma. Yeah. So weight stigma, and we'll cite this big consensus paper in a little bit that came out a couple of years ago about ending weight stigma. So they have the definition of weight stigma as it refers to social devaluation and denigration of individuals because of their excess body weight and can lead to negative attitudes, stereotypes, prejudice, and discrimination. And so, you know, then it goes on to weight-based stereotypes. And this is, you know, maybe what, we didn't understand this when we were younger. And it's out there, the weight-based stereotypes. You know, and that's not helping anybody, even though it's so prevalent. You know, like on TV, media, how they portray people with obesity. You know, like you said earlier, portraying them as lazy, gluttonous, lacking in willpower, self-discipline, all that stuff. Even things like incompetent and unmotivated to improve their health. You know, unfortunately, I saw a lot of that during the COVID time. You know, we had fit pros who are supposed to be helping people basically blame all the deaths of COVID on obesity, and they were kind of making it as if it was a choice, as if people were out, you know, truly being lazy and gluttonous and having obesity and then dying of COVID-19 because it increased the risk.
Yeah.
You know, that was out there. I mean, that was I mean, what a bunch of BS. That's horrible.
Basically, blaming all of COVID-19 on obesity pretty much is what they were doing. So big examples of weight stigma, I think we see it in medicine specifically. With the telemedicine group I'm working with, I get patients from all over the nation that come to me that basically say the same thing. They can get this medicine from their primary care doctors, but they're coming to me. Why would they come to me on telemedicine? Well, it's because their current doctor told them they just need to eat chicken, exercise, and eat spinach. And that's
or they just say to eat less and move more.
Yeah, in so many words. They go, you just need to diet. You just need to try a little bit harder. They say the same stuff. And, you know, I would pick on family doctors, but, it doesn't matter. It's cardiologists, endocrinologists, whoever. I'm always surprised. Oh, yeah. And I guess it's, you know, my brother and I, we're in this kind of obesity stigma, obesity medicine world where we understand stigma and we're like, really? People are still doing that? It's highly prevalent now. And if you're listening to this, you're probably like, yeah, my doctor kind of said the same thing. They probably looked you up and down. You can listen to our diagnosis of obesity podcasts and all these different things. Basically, when people get weighed in, they may not even look at the person and they may just say, hey, you know, you really need to start losing weight.
Well,
and they may treat you a little bit differently.
Yeah. And turns out there are a lot of data on discrimination, not only in the workplace, but in the real out in the world, but also in medicine. So patients are being discriminated against and it's not necessarily conscious, you know, maybe by physicians and whatnot, but you know, what you were saying, they hear the same thing over and over again. Somebody goes in for something wrong and not only may it just get sort of blamed on obesity, even though obesity does drive a lot of complications, but oftentimes the stigma or the bias or the discrimination of it leads some people to say, well, that's because you got to lose weight. So not only do they kind of, they're too quick to blame it on that, which, some things might be, but then they just say, well, now you got to lose weight, as if that's a conscious control. You know what I mean? I'll go lose the weight. Thanks.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right.
Yeah. Low back pain is the common case. You see low back pain. The really horrific ones are people that have cancer,
something bad's cooking, and they get blown off because of the obesity. Now we're not. I'm not trying to like call anybody out or anything. This is like just a common problem. And part of it is, you know, naivety, ignorance. Not everyone understands the disease process of this. And then, and you know, I think everyone needs to do better about not having bias in anything. You know, I mean, that's a huge issue in itself, just bias in general. And then we have to find a way to check our bias at the door. Or not have it at all.
So one big issue is weight stigma in medicine leads to improper or late diagnoses, improper diagnoses, worsened care. It can also make people not want to go to the doctor, which also worsens care. So people always say, like, I just don't even want to go back because I felt shamed.
Yeah. And same with going to the gym. You know, our podcast on gym intimidation. This is why we want the gym clinic, the wellness clinic. It's the same thing. And so as physicians, nurses, personal trainers, exercise physiologists, dietitians, nutritionists, we have to know that if you're having that sort of bias, it's adversely affecting people. You know, it also, bias leads to reduced efforts in nutrition and physical activity. I think it's directly correlated to reduced physical activity, exercise efforts.
Yeah. So, so then on top of that, it worsens mental health. It worsens efforts. Mm-hmm. It worsens everything. And this is where I get in arguments with people online. They're like, no, we shame people for smoking. Why not just start shaming people for their obesity?
And how has that helped out, by the way? How's that worked out for everybody?
I have no idea. I don't know if there's data in the black lung. I don't think black lung pictures actually work that well.
I mean, it's educating people on it might, but the shaming of it doesn't. There's all sorts of things that people get. I mean, how about drug addictions? You know, that's a big issue,
that doesn't
too. There are people who just shame and think, oh, no, that's easy. Go feel better. Don't have mental illness. Don't take drugs. Don't be addicted. Don't have obesity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so anyways, not, I don't want to, we can't be negative Nancy's and act like everyone's doing that, but we got to do better as a healthcare team. All of us have to do better.
Weight stigma leads to poor outcomes, period. Okay. So what else does the paper that you were on a task force?
Looking
at this, right? Or so you emceed something.
What's that? What'd you say?
Didn't you MC something?
Yeah.
I thought you MC'd
I was the chair. I thought you were going to say something about making sure we don't spill any beans and get in trouble again because I accidentally did that.
So. Yeah, probably. We'll have to take the
podcast. Anyways, we hosted a consensus conference talking about what can we actually do as healthcare professionals across the board. Again, doctors, nurses, nutritionists, exercise physiologists, dietitians, et cetera, to reduce this stigma with some action. And so the baseline for this, I really think, is this. It's a 2020 huge international consensus statement for ending stigma. It was published in Nature Medicine. And some of the people we know, some of our mentors, Jeff Mechanic, who's been the president of ACE, who really got me into the ACE obesity realm, Dr. Eckel, Donna Ryan was on us, Joe Niglowski from Obesity Action Coalition, along with Ted Kyle, who was with me at our consensus conference, who does the conscious health, and plenty of other guys. I think Carolyn Apovian was on here, Louis Aroni. Now we're just name dropping. Lee Kepp.
Yeah, now you're just name dropping.
All right. Patty Neese was on it. Anyways, okay. So, all right. So the point is, you know, is that they talk about how obesity, you know, such a has this pervasive and resilient forms of social stigma associated with it, and you know, talks about the discrimination in the workplace as well as educational healthcare efforts, and talked about how weight stigma causes physical psychological harm that we just discussed, and then ultimately receiving inadequate care. And so, you know, they got tons and tons of international groups together, and they talked about, you know, what are we going to do? So there was a pledge, you know, one that to condemn use of stigmatizing language, images, attitudes, policies, and weight-based discrimination wherever they occur. So we should all be on board to condemn that. And then they pledge to treat individuals with obesity with dignity, respect, refrain from using stereotypical language, et cetera, encourage support educational initiatives which, you know, this is aimed at eradicating weight bias through dissemination of current knowledge of obesity and weight regulation. I think we do that. We're trying to do that and do our part. And so then there were a bunch of statements that they came up with, you know, again, how to do this, how to, you know, they talk about the prevalence of weight stigma and weight bias discrimination, weight stigma in the media. The media is a big culprit, unfortunately, portraying obesity, you know, as influential. News media, obesity frequently attributed to personal responsibility. And that's in the news media. But TV shows, you know, they often portray a lot of obesity stigma, you know, sometimes to try to get laughs or whatever it is on the TV show. And then they have a few statements about healthcare professionals holding negative attitudes about obesity, including stereotypes and thinking that the patients with obesity, you know, are lazy, lack self-control, they lack willpower, all that stuff. I guess, you know, basically all these statements are saying, hey, okay, we got to get rid of stigma. I guess my question is, how do we actually do that other than, you know, disseminating education? This is a tough thing, I think.
I'm not really sure. I you know, again, for myself, it took working with people and hearing their stories and hearing their emotions come out to where, like, oh man, this is much different than I thought it was. And so I'm trying to take that and teach, you know, social media. We're doing a podcast right now, and it's tough. I mean, it's an uphill battle, because here you got, you know, what's interesting, there are a lot of people that have lost a lot of weight and kept it off.
Oh yeah.
And some of them, folks who are successful, some of them are the worst when it comes to the stigma, because they basically are saying, oh, I did it. And if
Why
I can
do
it,
anybody else do it. Yeah.
Anybody else can do it. And if you can't, you're a lazy piece of shit. That's what they basically, they pretty much say that. And to where it's like, man, I don't know how to combat that, because they're the ones that had the overweight obesity, and, you know, they're the ones that overcame it. And they're basically saying that I was in their shoes and I overcame it. So, like, I don't know. I don't know how to defeat that. What am I supposed to say?
Well, because, and the problem is, I guess my thought would be, what we tell patients, they're all different. So everyone's complex pathophysiology that makes it hard for people is different.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier for some people. I think it's been easier for us to maintain what we have than people who have obesity. And someone with obesity, they might really have some really relatively easy things that they can adjust in their life. You know, some of the things we talk about with diet that are the low hanging fruit, if you will. If they were able to just cut out tons and tons of sugary drinks and eating restaurant food and just make some simple changes, then maybe they didn't have as much pathophysiology driving them that other people do.
Yes.
You know, they may not be the ones that are like, oh, I'm so hungry all the time, or whatever it is, after they don't need the treatment. Everyone's different. And so teaching them that would be one thing. You know what I thought you were going to say, though? How many people out there have lost significant weight and then they realize that people treat them differently? How often have you heard that? That's a big deal. So people who struggled with obesity and they lose significant weight, suddenly everyone's different to them in, you know, a lot of kind of bizarre good ways that makes them feel that they were not being right to them before. But sometimes the opposite. I mean, there's all sorts of weird things that people do when they've noticed weight loss.
What are some actionable things? Like, okay, so one of the things that we started doing, person first, people first language. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things you'll hear us say is that people with obesity as opposed to an obese person, same thing with
diabetes.
With type 2 diabetes as opposed to a diabetic.
Yeah.
We say somebody, we don't say a cancerous person. We say somebody with cancer, of course. So, those are just some simple things. Although there are a lot of people, there are people out there who still think, you know, saying somebody with obesity is stupid anyway. There's a lot of people who say that. And honestly, yeah. I don't tell a patient, you're a person with obesity. I actually don't even use the term obesity at all. And I think it's probably in that statement somewhere. There's studies yeah. about what people prefer in terms of words. And people do not like fat, of course. That's pretty derogatory. Although
I don't know. I have a lot of patients who I try to tell them more about the disease, and they're like, no, I'm just fat. That's okay. And it's like, well, okay.
Yeah,
we're able to work with whatever. Work with whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I have patients that say, no, I'm fat. Don't worry. And I'm like, I'm not going to say it. Go ahead and say it yourself. I don't really care. I'm not going to say it. I can tell you that. But I don't even need to tell them they're obese or they have obesity. I think it's more of a literature thing, trying to get it into your mind, into the clinician's mind, like, to help with the stigma. I don't even know if it helps or not. I have no idea.
Well,
to me, I feel like it helps.
I think the foundation of that is doing a better, and we're involved with a lot of academic things, is actually educating healthcare professionals about obesity as a disease rather than just a condition or kind of a side thing.
Right.
I think, And unfortunately, that actually gets into also just kind of the whole BMI-centric diagnosis of the disease as it is. And we've talked about that. And I think, there's some things that maybe we could do as a global healthcare community to, diagnose obesity more like it's defined as excess or abnormal adipose tissue that drives harm and morbidity and, all those things. So somehow semantics.
I got attacked on Twitter a few weeks ago because I said, all right, here's a case of a patient who failed 17 different diets or 10 different diets, yada, yada, yada. Here's how I help them. And people are like, you're supposed to be an obesity doctor. You're a piece of shit.
Because you said
the diets failed that person. They did not fail the diet. And I can't believe you used that word failed. And I'm just like, this is like a medical terminology when you talk about how if somebody failed a vent, like when you're trying to get somebody off of a vent, they failed the vent weaning trial or whatever. They failed this, and it's like, I understand.
I understand.
So
that's why, I like to say they didn't respond to it. But that's because we always talk about, maybe it's a more positive thing. So using the ventilator example, the person didn't respond to the ventilator, maybe. I don't know. So that, the person didn't respond, because we often talk about that with medicine or surgery. So early response to therapy leads to long-term response to therapy. And so anyways, but you got to have a response. What is the response defined as? Right now, people would say it's 5% weight loss, but also we care about the health of the person. Eating better quality and exercising a lot treats the disease of obesity, even if you don't lose weight, I'd argue. And I think that's part of thinking about stigma. Right. We got to get away from the weight centric part of it and get to the health. That's basically what one of my conclusions was, in these discussions that going forward is we got to find a way to have better semantics. And, really discussing it as a disease where it's the health that we care about, not necessarily the number on the scale. What about...
Yeah, there's other... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Ted Kyle brought up a couple great points at this conference. And he talked about the extremes, like on social media, of stigma from people who have obesity. I think it's on one side, you have the people that don't even think it's a disease, or, well, I'm trying to think, because he was talking about the healthy at every size people on one extreme.
Yeah, yeah. The
right?
Haze.
And so they're not thinking about health. So what is their mantra, Spencer? What's their deal? What's their MO?
They're basically trying to say that you can be healthy at every single size and that... your weight doesn't really matter in for the most part.
Right. I mean, that's kind of it.
I don't want to put words
in their mouth. They're trying to demedicalize it. I feel like they're trying to say, no, it's not a problem.
They think.
Which, And the problem is, it is because it's the health that we do care about. So certainly you can have excess weight. And that's why I said eating better and exercising a lot is treating the disease for the health, for the goal of health, even without weight loss. But they're trying to say that it's not anything, you know. So they're trying to say no, having obesity is fine. And we just know that that is not actually true, because what we actually care about is the health, and it's the risk of the health problems.
Yeah.
And then there's the other extreme.
Well, so whenever I talk about weight, adiposity being causal, they're like, nope, it's not. When people lose weight and improve their health markers, it's because they have less. Now they have less stigma. Like you said before, people are treating them differently, and so their stress goes down and their blood sugars improve.
There you go.
That's an
interesting theory or hypothesis.
Yes, they all make the same comments, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is, you guys are delusional here. The weight stigma is very important. Why we're talking about this, but it's like, you can put somebody in a metabolic ward who is not seen by anybody, who is not getting any stigma. You can put somebody without mirrors or anything to see them, because they're going to say it's internalized stigma. It's like, no, there are improvements with decreases in adiposity. That's why we help people lose weight, lose the adiposity around their organs. However, on the other hand, there are clear, exactly what this podcast is about, there are clear harms from stigma as well. So why not we try to improve stigma and we try to improve adiposity as best we can. I don't understand why people just can't be reasonable. I mean, people can be. It's just the loudest, the most extreme.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's one of those extreme groups. I think most people do understand that it's at least not a healthy situation. And I think we need to do a better job of making sure people do understand it's a disease process that's driving, you know, some of our most common bad diseases. Metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, cancer, etc. So anyways,
So yeah, so if your whole idea is trying to help people improve, then probably less shame. And it's hard sometimes. You don't realize you have the stigma. When you're talking to people, having more empathy, understanding. I always talk about these barriers. They're not excuses. They're usually barriers. Some people's, you know, obviously genetics. Those are always going to be there. We can't do anything about genetics. But some people's environments, how they grew up, what was their upbringing like, what is their job like, what's their family life like. Understanding that they're barriers, understanding that people are trying, it's hard. I get it. It's hard. Just don't tell people that you must not be trying that hard.
Yeah.
Because that type of the stigmatizing nature of discussion, whether you're a coach or a physician, or if you're patient listening to this and trying to understand this all these things can lead to, like you said, people, it can worsen stress, which does have worsened health markers, but it's also those healthful lifestyles that you're trying to get people to do, they will do less of it because of the shame and because of the stigma, which is ironic because it's the opposite of what we want people to do.
Right, yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, it is. And the physiology of stigma, they have it. If you look in some of these graphs of obesity pathophysiology, the George Bray's document for the World Obesity Federation, there's like this, you know, the center thing that has obesity, and then it's talking about all the complications. Well, one of them down in the right-hand corner is stigma. I showed it at this consensus conference. And then there's another paper where it talks about, you know, increasing the stress and cortisol, even though, you know, we talk about how most people don't have hormone issues technically driving, but all these hormones do actually work together and work against people. It's just that there's not not a tumor. But anyways,
probably increases appetite, which probably drives more eating.
Yes.
It's all ironic. So like shaming second. So what are some other action steps? It's hard to come up with action steps. We say patients with obesity. To me, it really takes just listening to people and just understanding what they're saying and believing them that they're trying hard. You know, somebody else on Twitter, it's always Twitter I'm getting into it with people, but someone's doing keto said that they're eating 3,000 calories now, and as opposed to the standard American diet when they're only eating like 1,800 calories and they weren't losing weight, now they lost like 20 pounds. And I was like, oh. Yeah, that didn't happen. You're actually in a calorie deficit now from the keto. And eventually, we just kept going on. This was like a nurse practitioner, actually. And by the end of it, she's like, I just think it's sad that you don't go in believing people. And it's like, no, I believe people are trying hard. I believe that. I believe that they're working their butts off. But it doesn't matter, you know, with reality. There is reality that you do have to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight. The stigma would be that they're lazy for not doing it. I understand it's really difficult
to do. Or that they're not trying or something like that,
Yeah, and that they're just a gluttonous, lazy idiot. It's like, no, I know the disease of obesity. It's very hard to do. So let's just work on these barriers and strategies to help you, and then I can offer tools if you need it with medicine and refer you to surgery and get you a comprehensive, you know, lifestyle coaching and that type of thing. But I think it's the empathy of understanding that will truly help with the stigma. There are other things like people in doctor's offices making sure your stools, your waiting room has big enough seats for people.
Basic needs.
Making sure the beds or the freaking I don't even work in a clinic anymore.
The exam tables. The exam tables.
Exam tables.
Yeah, this is why we shouldn't do late
night. I haven't even seen an exam.
Jeez.
I don't even work in a clinic.
Oh, yeah. You got it. If you want to see Dr. Spencer, you got to be willing to get a virtual exam. Well, we do that too, though. Anyways, now we're getting way off topic.
It's stigmatizing, though.
Yeah, I think telemedicine can help with stigma a little bit. I think that's my thought. Since we're talking about your virtual career. You know, I think there's a chance that can be leveraged to reduce stigma. But also, we got to do, and this is what we're doing, we have to do a better job as healthcare professionals to educate not only healthcare professionals, but also the public. And that's where we need kind of all hands on deck. I think we need the media to maybe talk to obesity specialists to maybe help with a little bit of their contribution to it. And, public education. People need to learn that there's more. It's more complex. That's why I tell patients, there's a lot more to this than what I know people, than a lot of people realize. But we got to educate.
I did a fun poll on my Instagram once, and I showed a guy with obesity, and I said, "This guy's 300 pounds. What do you think of him? Like, do you think he works hard? Do you think he's lazy?" Something like that. 90% said he was lazy.
Wow.
Okay. So then I did the same picture and I go, here's the same guy, except he was 400 pounds and he lost 100 pounds and has kept it off for, a couple of years or whatever. Does he work hard or is he lazy? Then 90% said he works hard. There's still 10% of people that said he was lazy, but it
that's amazing.
Completely shifted the what they thought. So I think a good little experiment, again, we could tell you to start using patient-first language, but I really think you need to kind of come up with stories for people if you don't know who they are and you're seeing them walk around on the street. And you say, like, I don't know this person. You don't know what they've been through.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're doing right now.
People,
you have
people
no idea.
Don't know what's going on in other people's lives and, their struggles that they've gone through. I know.
So then it could be that person has already lost a ton of weight. It doesn't even matter. Maybe they haven't lost weight, but they're trying.
Yeah.
They're trying their best.
Hey, they might be on medicine for something. They might have something else bad going on medically, and now they're on medicine. Think about steroids. Think about all the people that have to take anti-inflammatories for, kidney, rheumatologic disease, asthma, and then they're getting corticosteroids, prednisone, and gaining weight, and then now they're getting stigma and it makes it worse. And so that it's just a vicious cycle.
Maybe they don't give a damn, and that's okay. So whatever. It's just, it's hard. It's, you know what I mean? Like it's hard. It's hard. We don't know what's going on with them. And you're going to have to fight that urge. I think.
And that's educational too. That goes to the healthy at every size people. You know, we obviously have to educate them, but at the same time,
what the healthy?
We're going to
educate the health at every side.
Well, educate
they don't
people
want to listen
could,
to they, get, they're not going to give it.
Yeah, but we don't want other people to listen to them and then not realize the health risk.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean? So we got to, you got to battle it. You got to battle these things a little bit.
Yeah, I think you can be reasonable. I think we can discuss the health risks while also trying to promote healthful behaviors that are not weight centric, as you've pointed out, and that you can be healthier at any size. I would say you can be healthier relatively.
Yeah.
But I think that's good. Any other actionable things? I know this is kind of more of a kind of like an abstract thought. Yeah. It's
philosophical.
To me it's hard.
We're getting
to be
philosophical. It's hard. Well, so like some of the, you know, the gut recommendations in this paper, you know, that obviously stigma and discrimination should not be tolerated anywhere. Education, healthcare, public policy, etc. Explaining the gap between the real scientific evidence that we're talking about and a lot of the how the conventional narrative of obesity is built around unproven assumptions and misconceptions. So if we use better scientific education to the community, maybe we can reduce the weight bias and push back in that way. They call on the media to be, you know, produce fair and accurate, non-stigmatizing portrayals and things like that.
Yeah, so the stigmatizing little pictures that you see, it's always up-close picture of their abdomen or the behind of somebody. Never, and so there was a big push recently to use smiling faces of people with obesity, and not everybody's just, guzzling sodas and things like that. It's abstract. It's a little bit abstract. You got to think about it. Yeah.
And same with public health, also in research, all the things. I think education, public awareness, and I feel like we've been helping different people do that for the past 15 years, but, we keep pushing it.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, the other thing is we're not going to say calorie deficits aren't what help people lose weight. It's just that it's really hard to do the calorie deficit.
Yeah.
I think that's, mean you got to do some magical keto or something else that's going to all of a sudden help them. It's just that it's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we have to personalize it. And we have to, we have to individualize their diagnoses and their goals and their diet and exercise and medications and surgeries and everything like that. And so, I think those are some of the thoughts.
Cool. All right. Hope you enjoyed. I know weight stigma is hard. Fight against it. But go ahead. Subscribe to the podcast. Give us a review. Only if it's 5 stars. If not, we're going to double team, tag team in.
Well, I just got fired.
Off the top ropes.
Got fired again. All right, Harry,
that's
do the
time
outro.
For the outro.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.